Bienvenue, willkommen, bienvenidas, and welcome to the World Bank EdTech Podcast, your source for discussions on technology and innovation in education globally. I'm your host for this episode, Maria Barrón, core member of the EdTech team. Today, on an occasion of International Women's Day theme for 2024, Investing Women, Accelerate Progress, we are exploring the critical importance of STEM education and careers, drawing insights from a recent report, Engendering STEM Access in Education and Careers to Improve Female Labor Force Participation. There is a vital role for STEM education and careers in driving innovation, economic growth, and sustainable development. This is crucial for advancing human capital accumulation and contributing to economic development. Addressing gender disparities in STEM, access and participation for inclusive economic growth, recovery from crisis and pandemics are essential for achieving the sustainable development goals. There is a need for governments and stakeholders to champion inclusion and diversity in STEM to foster women advancement. We need more girls and women in science. As this is such an important occasion, we are delighted to have two distinguished guests with decades of experience to shed some light on these topics. Mr. Luis Benveniste, Global Director for Education at the World Bank, and Mrs. Nicole Klingen, Human Development Director for the South Asia region at the World Bank. Let me go quickly to Nicole and Luis to give us some welcoming remarks.
Thank you very much, Maria, for the kind invitation. It's really a pleasure to be here and look forward to the discussion on how we can foster STEM for girls and women and what that means for the labor market as well, and how they can actually participate much more in the future of the labor market that is innovation and technology driven.
Thank you, Maria, and hello, Nicole. It's great to be here. I really look forward to the discussion. And as you well said, we need more girls and women in STEM fields.
Thank you, Luis and Nicole. It's a pleasure to have you. Let me ask you a first question. Luis, what we call science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields, the STEM fields, are extremely important for the economic and social prosperity of all countries. However, we know that the seeds of gender bias in STEM start at a very young age, which is why it's important to think about interventions to support girls and boys in and outside the school, the importance of communities to ensure a supporting ecosystem and a pathway for opportunities is key. So I would like to ask you, how STEM education and careers contribute to the overall well-being and development of communities? And can you provide examples of how STEM initiatives have positively impacted communities and facilitated social progress?
That's a great question, Maria. We know that STEM education and careers contribute significantly to the overall development of communities by fostering innovation, economic growth, and helping address social challenges. And this happens in a variety of ways. First, perhaps and foremost, STEM fields produce thinkers, researchers, technicians who advance progress in various sectors. It could be health, could be education, food security, transportation, infrastructure. Lots of talk of energy these days. And advancements in medical technology and pharmaceuticals, for example, have improved healthcare outcomes. Innovations in renewable energy have contributed to sustainable development, to environmental conservation. Also, STEM jobs are often good for workers. They have higher demand, they have better pay. And so initiatives that promote STEM education and training can lead to the creation of high-quality jobs and therefore improving the economic well-being of individuals and communities. As I mentioned just earlier, STEM innovations also play a central role in solving global challenges, overcoming disease, protecting the environment, increasing energy access and efficiency, in my field, enhancing education. And then, you know, just to delve into the topic of today, initiatives that have aimed at increasing the participation of women and girls in STEM fields have really led to greater gender equality and empowerment. And so providing additional teaching and learning resources, promoting career counseling and guidance, facilitating exchange of information by role models can help really dispel the gender stereotypes and encourage more women and girls to pursue STEM careers. STEM education careers really help foster innovation, economic growth that are so important of our time.
Thank you so much, Luis, for that extremely comprehensive reply. I agree with your points. Just would like to make a quick addition to that. I feel also that role models play a very important role. And sometimes when the community is not exactly on board with the STEM education for girls due to gender stereotypes, seeing that somebody else has done it leads to change of mindset, which is very important, I feel. But let me ask Nicole if she would like to add anything to this question. Over to you, Nicole.
Thanks so much, Maria and Louise. Louise, you mentioned the importance of STEM education for girls in the economic development and in the community's outlook. You know, as Maria, you said, oftentimes it starts with the peers and the parents of the girls, also the boys, but mostly the girls. And they kind of don't believe necessarily that it's that important to keep the girls in school. So if we think of South Asia, the trajectory of the girls in school is not fantastic. So many girls drop out during secondary school, or they don't go from primary to secondary school. So kind of bringing that emphasis of having girls in schools, keeping them in schools, ensuring that they get interested in STEM fields, I think that's important. Right now, unfortunately, the evidence suggests that in Bangladesh, families continue to invest much more in post-primary education in boys instead of girls. So I think that's going to be important to start having these community engagements, to show role models, to see what actually the girls' future could look like if they went more into STEM. And as Louise said, it's so important to have STEM education if we want to go to a green or a digital economy is going to be so vital for all the economies and all the countries. And girls will play a big, big role because after all, it's 50% of the population.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Those are extremely important points. And let me continue with you. We are talking about the importance of engaging community, but we know that changing role models and mindsets is very complex and it requires a whole of government approach, and also to engage the wider ecosystem, including the private sector, which leads us to our next topic, public-private partnerships. So what role do public-private partnerships play in promoting STEM education and fostering innovation? Could you discuss any successful collaboration between public and private sectors that have led to advancement in the STEM fields?
Thanks a lot, Maria. This is a very important question. As you said, it takes the whole of society. That means the government, the private sector, academia, the think tanks. It really requires everybody to think about how we can foster public-private partnerships for innovation. And what comes to mind to me is really technology and the advent of AI. If we think about where we're going to go and head in the future, I think making sure that the STEM education of the girls and the boys, but we're talking here for now about the girls, really also reflects the labor demand. And that we have an ecosystem that the girls, A, go to school, stay in school, go to university, stay there, are successful, and then find a job. So there is where the ecosystem of the public-private partnership has such an important role that also links to access to finance. Because many girls and young women in South Asia that I meet, they oftentimes say access to finance, if they are entrepreneurs, is difficult. Now, when I talk to them about how difficult was it in school for them, and they say like, yeah, there are a lot of stereotypes still in school and in university, and at the workplace, you know, there are many different topics and issues that they need to consider. Safety is one of the big concerns, but then also access to finance. Public-private partnerships can be super powerful. And talking of power, in South Asia, we have the WePower initiative, and it's a diverse network of public and private stakeholders that emphasize locally driven initiatives. So founded in 2018, it really is supporting women's participation in energy projects and institutions that promote normative changes for girls and women in STEM education. The initiative, WePower, has really grown enormously, and by the end of 2021, having completed nearly 1,400 gender-driven activities positively affecting 28,000 female students and professionals and forming 28 partnerships. That's one of the initiatives that I think is really forward-looking that happened in South Asia. But again, it's important to really emphasize the need that girls are accepted and comfortable in university, in research, in academia, but then also in the private sector. That's not always a given right now, and I hope we can change that.
Thank you so much, Nicole. You have painted a very comprehensive picture of the role of public-private partnerships and also WePower. I think even though I have learned about this example from the report that we are discussing about STEM education in South Asia, it offers lessons for Latin America, for Sub-Saharan Africa, for East Asia, for many regions. So I would invite our listeners to take a look at the report and learn a little bit more. I think it's a very important initiative. But let me ask Luis to complement this question if he has any remarks he would like to make.
Now, thanks, Nicole and Maria. I couldn't agree more. You know, public and private partnerships play a crucial role in promoting STEM education and fostering innovation. And I think that's because a lot of it has to do with leveraging the strengths of both the public and the private sectors. And these partnerships bring together the resources, the expertise, the innovation of the private sector with the regulatory framework, the public funding, the social objectives of the government to drive advancements in STEM fields. And maybe to the excellent examples that Nicole already put forth, I'll just add, perhaps I'll speak of my own sector, the importance of involvement of the private companies in supporting STEM initiatives in schools and universities, where, you know, for example, in many parts of the world, a quarter or half of university research is co-sponsored by private partners, leading to advancements in various STEM disciplines. And so again, this is a really important way in which the private sector plays an important role in pushing the frontiers forward. And these partnerships have the potential to enhance research competencies, to strengthen the innovation infrastructure, and providing support for building human capital, ultimately contributing to the development and the modernization of R&D efforts across the world. And so by involving industry in the design of education programs, we can ensure the development of a skilled workforce ready to tackle the challenges of the future. In that sense, STEM education has the potential to drive significant advancements, to improve research competence, to strengthen innovation infrastructure, and ultimately pushing our frontiers of knowledge forward.
Thank you, Luis. Definitely the link to have private sector connects extremely well with labor market demands and also connects the youth to opportunities and further jobs that would not be available for them if it not were for this type of programs. So let me continue with you. As people's aspirations are framed from an early age, it is important to strengthen STEM curricula and link it to real-world situations and labor market demand. So, Luis, how do you think that STEM education can prepare individuals for lifelong learning and adaptation in an ever-changing world?
Look, the world of jobs is changing so fast, so we must prepare individuals for the demands of the modern workforce. And so fostering lifelong learning, fostering adaptability really is a key dimension that we need to pay attention to. So, you know, what will we be looking for from STEM education? First, I think it's real-world applications. How do we integrate real-world problems in the curriculum so that we can make STEM subjects more engaging and more relevant? We need to help students understand the practical applications of their learning and how it can be applied to solve actual challenges in various industries. Also, we know that we learn best when there is project-based learning. So how to encourage project-based learning where students work on complex in multidisciplinary projects that can foster collaboration, problem-solving, critical thinking skills. So these are all avenues to help adapt to new situations and to really think through how new technologies can be put into place and their applications into the world of work. Industry partnerships can provide students with insights into the current labor market demands and future trends. So internships, mentorships, guest lectures from industry professionals can all be ways in which to bridge the gap between education and employment. And ultimately, you know, because this world of jobs is changing so quickly, emphasizing the importance of continuous learning, professional development really can prepare students for a career landscape that requires constant upskilling, reskilling, green skilling to promote a growth mindset and the pursuit of lifelong learning. Now, incorporating the latest technologies into the curriculum is hard, artificial intelligence, data analytics, robotics are core instruments to give students hands-on experience with tools that they will encounter in the workplace and they will become commonplace. And as such, soft skills, communication, teamwork, leadership are all vital for career success and adaptability. So overall, this means that STEM curricula needs to be flexible, and this ensures that students are learning the most up-to-date content, preparing themselves for future changes in their field. The world is getting smaller and smaller because communication is getting faster and richer all the time. So, you know, providing a global perspective on STEM issues is important to have students ready to work in an interconnected world. So these are all ways in which the world of education and work come together, and how STEM really needs to be prepared to engage in a sort of rapidly changing world.
Thank you so much, Luis. You have given us a lot of food for thought in how to think about lifelong learning. But let me ask Nicole if she would like to contribute anything, especially perhaps on your point on how future jobs especially are going to be impacted by AI and the lack of representation of women in AI, and what can we do to support AI that is also gender inclusive. Over to you, Nicole.
Thank you so much. And thanks to Louise, very comprehensive answer. And I can just, you know, emphasize adaptability and skilling, reskilling, upskilling, because we don't know what's going to be around the corner. We cannot really predict what the jobs are going to be in 10, 20 years, because the momentum of growth in the technology industry is so tremendous. 5 years ago, we would not have thought of ChatGPT necessarily. So I think this attitude of problem solving and being adaptive and looking at problems in different ways is extremely important when we think of the future in technology. And thinking of solving problems like pandemics, disasters, energy solutions, you know, whatever is going to come down. Also in the climate field, I think it's really important. And making those available to young children and especially girls to think in these different ways. To me, critical thinking, communication, all these skills, it's just going to be extremely important to keep going. But I also think self-learning is going to be important. Getting the youth to think much more of self-learning and being interested in topics. And I saw a couple of internship programs in South Asia where the youth is learning all about 3D printing, and then they go into VCRs and experiential modes. And when you talk to these youth, they are so excited. And guess what? There were even some young women, and they were extremely excited. Their one concern was, can they really find a job afterwards that is safe, secure, that they're not going to be harassed, that will have bathroom for women at the workplace? There are many factors that we need to take into account when we think about lifelong learning in the STEM field and what the prospects are for jobs in the future.
Thank you, Nicole. This is music to my ears. We just released a couple of weeks ago a podcast on critical thinking and it's important in our AI world. And I completely agree with your points about how this ever-changing future is going to lead to different challenges and how education can adapt to this. But let me continue with you, Nicole. While we have mostly discussed girls and women so far, we should also reflect a little bit that gender stereotypes are harmful both girls and boys. Let me give you an example. I went to a school in Peru in Latin America. I remember my textbook having a picture of an engineer that was a male and a picture of a teacher that was a woman. So, Nicole, how can equitable access to STEM education be ensured for all genders?
Thanks so much, Maria, for this question. You went to school in Peru, I went to school in Switzerland, and, you know, in our case, the doctor was male and the nurse was female. And when I went to university and I studied economics, we were like 10% women. And today that's very different. I think one of the issues is like being gender, not labeling, no stereotypes in curricula, no stereotypes in children's books. When the very young children start reading, to see we have women scientists and women who can do anything and boys who can do anything. So I think that's important because several studies have really shown that in many countries in South Asia, you have stereotypical roles in the household and at the workplace. And I think going away from that and really paying attention in the curricula and in the way we teach is important. It's also important to have maybe female teachers that do teach sciences and math and physics. I was at a high school 2 weeks ago, and we saw one high school male teacher and everybody else was female. And then I asked the man, what are you teaching? And he said physics and math and science. And the women were all teaching other subjects and not in the STEM field. So I think that's important that we pay attention. And actually, you know, we could use then AI in education to try to get rid of the biases and the gender stereotypes. That's what I really would like to hope we can do. So it is kind of a process, if you want, that starts from very early age, from the earliest books that children are exposed to everything in school, but also later, and ensuring that in the schools they are treated the same and that we have a kind of a can-do attitude for everybody. Girls and boys can be everything.
Love that answer, Nicole. It's very motivational and inspiring to think that everyone should be allowed to dream whatever they want to be, and that education systems should support those dreams, and job markets should also support those dreams. We need to also retain women, because we know that we lose a lot of women as part of the leaky pipeline when they start a study, and they maybe they decide to quit due to family commitments or due to lack of flexibility. But let me ask Luis also for his views on this question on gender stereotypes. Over to you, Luis.
Thanks. Nicole has already said it all. You know, gender stereotypes are insidious. You know, they have a detrimental effect on both girls and boys in their pursuit of STEM education and careers. And in that sense, they lower interest, they lower aspirations, they lead to self-doubts around STEM subjects for girls, they increase the pressure for boys to conform to traditional gender roles. We know that there's a whole load of evidence about the ways in which girls are being left out from having interests or aspirations in science careers, and boys also oftentimes feel pressure to excel in certain STEM fields, such as physics or chemistry, due to societal expectations. So ensuring equitable access to STEM education for all genders starts, on one hand, at home, as parents, how to be aware of our own attitudes, our own values, and really sort of foster participation of girls in engineering or STEM fields. And so in that sense, I think that providing information on the benefits of opting for STEM courses or STEM careers, or engaging our children in STEM events, can all have positive effects on reshaping attitudes. But also, obviously, as Nicole well said, schools are critical vehicles for ensuring that gender biases are broken in learning materials. So, you know, museum visits, competitions, robotics and coding camps are all ways in which to really build interest and foster positive attitudes in girls and boys. This is a lifelong preoccupation.
Thank you, Luis, for adding those very critical points. Now we will move to the informal part of our EdTech podcast. I would like to invite our guests to share their personal insights related to STEM education. Which woman in STEM has inspired you and why? Or a personal anecdote related to STEM. Let me go first to Nicole and then to Luis.
I'm going to cheat for 1 second. So the person who I think changed the world in many ways was Marie Curie, at a time where women were not taken very seriously. And then I met so many women, you know, in the past 4 years, because I was also in my previous role in digital development. I met so many impressive women. But the most impressive that I just recently met in South Asia, an engineer, did engineering against the will of her parents, and then went abroad, did all kinds of things, and then developed a mental health app that really helps South Asian women who would like to talk or to chat or to have support in their journeys. And that was, to me, extremely impressive, how she moved from the engineering background and a bit of cold technology. She was not a computer engineer, but she went into that field later and then went into the health field because she felt the need during the pandemic to really make mental health services accessible for everybody.
Thank you, Nicole. That is very inspiring to hear. And I share your admiration for Marie Curie. I would add that for me is Ada Lovelace. I used to work in the UK in London, in DFID. So the office is very close to Trafalgar Square. And when I used to take the metro, I would see the plaque on her home saying that she was the first computer programmer. So she was very inspiring to me. And because I was entering a field, education and technology, where at that time we were not many. Now, thankfully, we are much more. It was extremely inspiring for me that the first programmer was actually a woman. But let me go to Luis. How about you, Luis?
You know, you remind me of how, as a young boy in Argentina, I was also struck by how Marie Curie was really a pioneer, researcher, and scientist. And I remember sort of being aware that she was a woman in a field dominated by men. And now as a parent, I recently took my kids when the movie Hidden Figures came out. Also, I was sort of struck by the story of Katherine Johnson and her colleagues who were mathematicians, and their calculations were so critical to the success of the U.S. space flights, and how without their dedication, without their passion, without their science, really sort of, you know, much of what we know about space flights would not have happened. And so their stories need to be told, and they need to be commonplace. I think that there's so much out there, the importance of women in these fields that goes unnoticed, that we really need to shed a light to.
Luis, I share the love for that movie and for the three main ladies in that movie. It's highly recommended, very inspiring. And these women really paved the way for NASA and for most of the world that happened there. So I would highly, highly recommend it. So let me close this amazing episode. Thank you, Luis and Nicole, our amazing guests, for sharing critical insights with us. I feel that now more than ever, it is a critical time to support girls and women to pursue their dreams and challenge the visible but also the subtle barriers they face to thrive in STEM fields. See you in our next EdTech podcast.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Nicole. This was a great conversation, and we should do this more often.
Thanks, Luis and Maria. Fully agree. Look forward to the next one.